It's 9 minutes after 6 o'clock, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell, and I'll be filling in today for Joy Cardine. Last summer in Madison, a 16-year-old was in a hospital to give birth. She later wound up dying as a result of a series of mistakes made by a registered nurse. That nurse, Julie Thayil, later wound up facing charges in the case. The original felony charges were amended, and Thayil entered a plea agreement to 2 misdemeanor charges. In addition, the Board of Nursing suspended her license for 9 months. Now, the Wisconsin Nurses Association has drafted legislation to prevent charges being filed in cases like this. Among other things, the WNA says bringing criminal charges against an otherwise good healthcare professional who happens to make a mistake will have a broad impact on all healthcare providers. And the WNA says the goal of criminal prosecution simply is not appropriate in these cases. Our guest this hour is Gina Denick-Champion, the executive director of the Wisconsin Nurses Association, and we'll be talking with her this hour about the proposed legislation and its future. What are your thoughts on this? Certainly, there is no doubt that this is a tragic case, but when should a mistake, or even series of mistakes, rise to the level of becoming criminal behavior? Do you support this legislation, or would you like to see the consequences for life-threatening mistakes be more serious than they are now? Call with your questions and comments. Our toll-free number is 800-642-1234. If you're in Madison, you can find us at 263-1890, and you can also join in the conversation via email at talk@wpr.org. Welcome our guest to the phones right now, Gina Denick-Champion. Good morning.
Welcome. Good morning.
Good to have you along.
Thank you.
Well, first of all, let's get some background on this. I'm not aware of other cases around the country like this where healthcare professionals have faced charges, except in cases where there was clearly criminal conduct. But have there been other cases like this, or is Wisconsin unique?
Well, we know of maybe 2 other states. One was in Colorado where it went to trial with one, or to court with one nurse in particular, and that nurse, and it had to do with an unintentional medical error, where the jury did find her not guilty and saw it clearly as an unintended mistake, and that the person should not be charged as a felon. And then we do have the case in New Orleans during Hurricane Katrina, where there are 3, after they evacuated all the patients that they thought had a chance of living, where a physician and I believe 3 other nurses stayed behind, and where they are being accused of murdering the patients that were left within the institution.
So not a lot of charges have been filed, even though there are a lot of mistakes, and I'm not pointing fingers at the medical industry, but there are a lot of people that go through it. And I got some numbers here from the Institute of Medicine of the National Academies. And, I mean, the numbers are sort of staggering, I guess. 44,000 people, perhaps as many as 98,000 people die in a hospital every year as the result of medical errors. Medical errors exceed attributable deaths to motor vehicle wrecks, breast cancer, and AIDS. And what they're trying to do, this is a part of a safety effort on the part of healthcare professionals. But those numbers are big, and yet very few criminal charges are the result of that. Tell me a little bit about the whole likelihood of mistakes. And I understand there are procedures in place to try to minimize those, but you're dealing with a lot of people and in some very stressful situations.
You're right. And when you look at those numbers, it is an eye-opener, mm-hmm. and which is why you have our healthcare systems really trying to pay attention to patient safety and what do we do about it and what should the culture be. And it has to start with, you know, being able to disclose that, you know, I think there's something wrong in this process. I almost made a mistake, or I did make a mistake. And we can really examine, you know, because when you are working with, and I'm going to say patients, they're vulnerable. You know, they're there for health care. And the number of things or the number of medical treatments, you know, are numerous. And so when you have humans delivering the care, you know, to in one person, multiple health care providers, sometimes, you know, mistakes will happen. And that's what we're trying to get our, you know, obviously our arms around. And the Institute of Medicine has identified some of those major, you know, areas where we should pay attention. There's this campaign called 100,000 Lives Campaign, where, you know, again, putting better systems of safety in place to avoid an error. But they've, you know, not rising to the level of where you become criminally prosecuted because you made a mistake.
And at what point did the WNA decide that it had to do something in terms of drafting legislation and taking more than just a position on the issue and on trying to move the issue along?
Well, I think from the outset, when you look at the case of the nurse in Madison, she was charged under the Medicaid fraud, you know, sections of the statutes. And where you look at those statutes, they talk about that a person can be criminally prosecuted, and those statutes were originally developed for, you know, the older adult in the nursing home. And when they begin to look at, you know, recklessly negligent or versus the non-reckless, meaning intent versus non-intent, that those set of the statutes are not clear. And that's where we think we'd like to see some clarification so that it still continues to be able to be used against those healthcare providers who intend to cause harm and intend to, create injury. But in the cases of those other healthcare providers who, you know, are actually trying to do their best and a mistake happens for whatever reason, we don't think that there should be criminal prosecution.
We'll continue our discussion of this legislation being proposed by the Wisconsin Nurses Association. Our guest is Gina Denick-Champion, the executive director of the association, and we'll be taking your calls at 800-642-1234. If you're calling for Madison, 263-1890. You can also join us by email at talk@wpr.org. I'm Gene Purcell, filling in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 18 minutes after 6 o'clock. I'm Gene Purcell in for Joy Cardine today. Coming up after 7 o'clock, we'll be taking a look at political faux pas and how they can impact the candidate in a presidential race. That's up after 7 o'clock. This hour, we are taking a look at legislation being proposed by the Wisconsin Nurses Association that would eliminate criminalization for nurses and other health care providers for unintentional medical errors. If you'd like to join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. In Madison, it is 263-1890. The legislation stems out of a case in Madison last year where a 16-year-old died while in a hospital to give birth to a child. And as it turns out, a series of medical errors led to her death in that case. The charges were later filed against the nurse. They were amended down to misdemeanor charges. But the question is, should charges be filed in a case like this where a medical provider, a healthcare worker, unintentionally makes mistakes that can have some serious ramifications? Our guest is Gina Denick-Champion, the executive director of the Wisconsin Nurses Association, and we're talking with her about this legislation. Now, Gina Denick-Champion, we were talking about a little bit of the background, why the Nurses Association decided to get involved in this, and what exactly is the legislation proposing?
Well, like I said, if we could clarify the section of the Medicaid fraud statutes, and again, trying to clarify that when there is that willful intent in wanting to cause harm to a patient, that that it's, you know, a reckless disregard of mm-hmm. what's going on with the patient versus for whatever reason harm comes to a patient and they they don't become, it isn't viewed as reckless negligence. So there is a coalition of healthcare providers, both institutional providers and healthcare providers like myself, including the Pharmacy Association and chiropractors, et cetera, just really beginning to look at, how should this look? What would we like to see? We're in the process of trying to work with DAs to get their reading on this. Because we do not want to create immunity for any individual who really does intend to cause harm. But more of to let that healthcare provider know that you can, you know, continue to deliver your care. If you think there's an error, you've made an error, that you can feel comfortable and feeling safe reporting it so we can make the necessary changes to the delivery of the care.
What if this legislation ultimately does not wind up passing? What do you see the ramifications of this?
I think it's pretty huge. I think we're going to start seeing a lot of, you know, very defensive medicine, the way it used to be, backing back to the blame of, you know, it's your fault this happened, had nothing to do with the systems maybe setting you up. I think we're going to see healthcare providers, you know, like nurses, entering into the field or wanting to leave, knowing that if they make a mistake, that they can be charged criminally. I think even in the case of the outcome with Julie Tao being charged with even the misdemeanors, has also had an impact on the practice right now. So it's not going to be good for patients, and it's certainly not going to be good for the healthcare providers. If anything, it could really set back our system of how we deliver care. Part of that is having that open disclosure and being able to talk to your supervisor or whoever, the quality control and risk management people about what happened. But again, that's all discoverable. And so a person who knows and wants to talk about the error may not be able to until they get their defense attorney with them to help them say the right thing so that it doesn't set them up. And in the case of Julie Tao, she was very open and very transparent in terms of what happened and as she went through her day. And all of that was used against her.
It's one of these topics, though, that can't really be discussed without bringing emotions into play. Or, I mean, you shouldn't, though. I mean, you should try to be as objective as you can about it. But, you know, you're dealing with lives here and dealing with the death of someone, and it is hard for those emotions to be left out of the equation. And certainly last summer and through the fall as this case progressed, we saw that. And it was one of those topics that people, regular people outside of the medical industry, had some very strong opinions on. And how does that, you know, when you're sort of caught in the middle in the Nurses Association trying to push good legislation, try to provide good medical care, you know, how do you keep those emotions out of the conversation?
You know, I don't think there was a nurse out there when we heard about it and about what happened that wasn't stunned. I mean, we certainly all internalized, you know, what happened and trying to figure out why and just in our own minds of what, you know, what do you think we could have done differently? I mean, we take our jobs very seriously. I mean, it is do no harm, and we do whatever we can to provide the best care that we can. But, you know, mistakes can happen. And we have our, you know, the Department of Regulation and Licensing that oversees the license of the individual. We have within our state system the Bureau of Quality Improvement that goes in and looks at the actual hospitals or wherever to look at where was there a system breakdown or was there, you know, something, you know, pretty, you know, obviously right out there that they saw that should not have been there to begin with. But in we all of us feel, I mean, the emotions. I mean, patients do die, and we never take that seriously. It's because when a person has died, I mean, we're still there for the family. And even in this case, there's also the civil, you know, the civil justice system where, you know, the families can, you know, look for civil damages. And in the case of the patient that Julie cared for, you know, there is a baby that's out there that, again, that will need some care for the rest of the baby's life without a mother. And you're right, that's where the emotions come in. And but again, does it need? I think for the nursing workforce, we were just so taken back. I mean, we know that over the past few years that accidents, people can be charged, you know, criminally for an accident. And I think that was new to us that, I mean, this is purely an accident, and why does it raise to the level of a felony? And I think that's kind of what took us all aback, was that how could this be? What's happened in our society that all of a sudden there's this criminal thing that can happen when you make a legitimate mistake?
Let's find out what listeners think. Warren joins us, and he is in Madison this morning. Hi, Warren.
Yeah, good morning. I got to make one comment. I'm not saying that she should be totally excused, okay, because she should have known that this was a very, very, very serious procedure. But on her defense, I'm in the International Guard, and I know a lot of things in the protocol about the F-16. You just don't send an F-16 into the air after maintenance. I mean, to me, it's the hospital and it's the procedure's fault, basically more than the nurses, because on a procedure like this, there should have been a minimum of 3 signatures. Yes, this is the proper chemical to use. Yes, this is the proper procedure to do it. And yes, this is the proper cabinet to get this access. I mean, this is basically a hospital procedure fault.
So you would support the Wisconsin Nurses Association legislation on this?
She's the fall guy or the fall lady, in my opinion. It's like, because this is totally a procedural problem. You don't do something like this, for God's sake. You're not going to send a pilot with an F-16 in the air on some mechanic saying, "Yeah, it's ready to go, sir."
Sure,
it's just ludicrous.
All right, Warren, thanks for the call. And Gina Denick Champion, there's somebody who supports the legislation and points back to procedures. But as I understand it, procedures are, I think, pretty much largely in place in hospitals, right?
You know, that's where you never say your system's in place, because we are always looking for ways for improvement. No system is foolproof, so to say. And that's what puts healthcare providers and healthcare organizations kind of like always on notice, because we know, there might be a better way. In some places they changed the IV tubing so that it can't possibly have gone into this bag. So it's a tubing connection, something that simple. In Europe, they'll actually put color into the different IVs. So if I'm looking at a bag and it's got a little bit of green in it, that means do not put that into the IV. So there's all these little, helps along the way. And that's, again, where some of the system things. And it's what I appreciate what Warren was saying. It's a process. There's a series of procedures. And if we were to count how many procedures, that it takes to just maybe administer an IV, I think you could see where there's chances of error along the way. And nurses have the experience and know how to, in most cases, most times can, have it done successfully. But for whatever reason, other things got in the way.
Gina Denick Champion is our guest this hour, the executive director of the Wisconsin Nurses Association. And we're talking about a bill being drafted by the WNA that would provide protection for healthcare workers who make a mistake on the job. And that protection would involve preventing criminal prosecution in those cases. If you're a healthcare worker, give us a call. Tell us what you think about the legislation. Will it help you or will it hurt the industry? 800-642-1234 in Madison. It is 263-1890. I'm Gene Purcell, filling in for Joy Cardine this morning here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The time is 25 minutes before 7 o'clock. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and I'm Gene Purcell, in for Joy Cardine. This hour, we're taking a look at a bill being drafted by the Wisconsin Nurses Association. The bill comes out of a case in Madison last summer and would provide protection for healthcare workers who make a mistake on the job. And the bill would prevent criminal prosecution in cases where an honest mistake is made. Our guest this hour is Gina Denick Champion, the executive director of the Wisconsin Nurses Association. And we've been talking with her about the legislation, why the WNA sees the need for it, and we're taking calls from you as well. 800-642-1234 is the toll-free number. In Madison, it is 263 1-800-273-1890. We do have some callers. We'll get to those in just a moment. But before we do, Gina Denick Champion, I'd like to ask you where what the status of the legislation is right now. You've drafted it, and I take it you're looking for legislative sponsors.
The status of it is it is still very much being worked out among a coalition. We have talked to a couple of legislators and just letting them know that we have concerns about what happened, and we're looking at what can we do in terms of the Medicaid fraud section of the statute. So kind of have provided that heads up. But it is still, this group of healthcare providers, both, like I said, the physicians and nurses, we've don't have a final set of wording that we've even looked at together and have made some agreement on. So we're figuring, sometime in February, there'll be language that we can say we like this and then begin the conversation with legislators.
Let's find out what listeners think. Jim joins us this morning, and he is in Stoughton. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. I'm opposed to the legislation. I do work in a hospital. This woman went beyond a mistake. She issued a medication just like a doctor would, except that she isn't a doctor. She attempted to cover it up through the use of the computer. She just blatantly disregarded the regulations that are there. She deserved to be prosecuted, and I'm disappointed in the Nursing Association for putting pressure on the district attorney's office to come up with that compromise. She should have gone to jail. She should have been an example to all the nurses.
Jim, thanks for the call. Gina Denick Champion. Well, there you have it. Somebody who works in a healthcare facility and says he is clearly opposed to the legislation and says this goes beyond just a simple mistake.
Well, I if you were to, it's just taking something out of a system, and administering it, and that is not what happened in this case. The medication was taken out of a system for the purposes of patient teaching. We wanted, she wanted to show this young girl what this kind of system looks like, and with a patient teaching moment. And in terms of, again, not having a physician's order, when we look at what's happening in terms of trying to save lives, like the 100,000 Lives campaign, one of those areas that there's focus is called rapid response teams. And let's say you have a patient in a bed, and the nurse is noticing that the person is starting to go downhill quite quickly, either an impending cardiac or respiratory arrest. They have created these teams that will all you got to do is call it, and the team comes and begins to start providing the necessary medical care to this patient so that they're not going to totally crash, so to speak. Within those rapid response teams, you have procedures in place where you're going to get things ready. If there's not a physician there, you're going to have it ready so that the doc can to give it. And sometimes it's given, and it's called anticipating the care, which is part of nursing's scope of practice. The anticipation of what the physician is going to want. And in the case of Julie, the physician had not ordered that. You are absolutely right. But the anticipation, her experience, knowing that this is probably what the patient was going to need. And certainly the punishment, just to herself, psychologically, will always be with her. Department of Regulation and Licensing did, like you said before, did impose penalties or sanctions onto her license, as did the hospital system in terms of responding to what can we have done to make this better. So they made it a systems approach.
One of the other factors that came out as part of that case was the whole issue of a workload, hours being worked by healthcare professionals and so on. In this particular case there, she had been working a lot of hours, had slept at the hospital, as I recall, then got
Correct.
Up and worked another shift.
Correct.
And, so to what extent is the culture in healthcare facilities to blame, or is the culture more of a result of shortages of workers and so on?
Well, and you're right. It that's what we're trying to get away from is blaming. I mean, and if it really is an individual that, should have known or whatever. I mean, there are performance issues and that the hospital can take the necessary, action. But it is that culture of patient safety and let's figure out how we fix it so that this never happens again. And again, it's why does it need to rise to the level of a criminal justice sort of response versus the other? Because it really is going to, I think folks will behave differently as a result of this, if this continues to stick and as other healthcare providers are brought up on criminal charges.
Well, we've got a lot of other calls to get to, so let's get to those. Ruth joins us. She is in Milwaukee this morning. Hi, Ruth.
Hi. I wanted to point out that in many other areas of our lives, equipment that makes serious errors impossible has been around for decades, if not longer. If you look at your automobile, it's really hard to go from reverse to forward by accident. You have to go through neutral. Sometimes you have to push a button. That's been around for a very long time. And the mechanisms to make it impossible to put, and I'm not a nurse, I just have spent time observing medical care for other people. Please take mine from my pocket. When I observe medical care and I see people worrying about making errors, I've been asking myself for a long time, why are these errors, why haven't they been made impossible when we know how to make them impossible? If we're asking, if you wanted me to be a nurse, you'd have to pay, and if there were criminal penalties for making errors, you'd have to pay me about twice what nurses get paid these days. It's just, it costs money to buy new equipment that makes errors impossible, but it also costs money to build beautifully decorated buildings that aren't really essential to the care.
All right.
And so I want to know why, since it's been available and it's routinely used in Europe, this equipment wasn't there, and instead of buying the equipment now, we're blaming someone who's probably worked a very long shift because there aren't enough nurses, and just doesn't make any sense to me.
All right, Ruth, thanks for the call, and Gina Denick-Champion. I know in most cases that equipment has been designed. We talked about the systems issue before, so this is not a new issue for hospitals as they attempt to deal with sensitive issues like this.
Well, right, and you know, part of that, when the Institute of Medicine Crossing the Quality Chasm is the name of the, you know, their report, our series of reports, and you know, when you look at how you prevent errors at all the different root causes, so to speak, you know, and is it lack of education? In some cases, is it just lack of sleep? You know, the nurse fatigue factor, so to speak. Is there a better mousetrap, so to speak? And then with healthcare, it's constantly being tweaked or being adjusted. But you have that, and you also the organization needs to figure out, you know, is there a better, you know, do I spend money on this or do I spend money on better imaging equipment or do, you know, things that can shorten a person's length of stay. So, but again, it needs to be a team approach. You know, it's not just putting fingers to one person. It is that systems approach, and I really appreciate Ruth's comments.
Is it possible to eliminate mistakes in a healthcare setting? I mean, she talks about equipment, you know, that can't be, that you can't do things with, that is mistake-proof, but is that really an achievable goal?
No, because we're human, and I mean, that's, we're in the profession because we enjoy what we do. It's a calling for us, so to speak. We're intelligent people. We're compassionate. I mean, we bring all of those values into our job, and that we don't want to make mistakes. We're going to try and be as competent as we can and know the latest information. But you know what? There's the humanness, and you can't control all of those variables that are, you know, affecting you. And in the case, you know, very few nurses just have one patient, you know, so they often have, you know, sometimes two or three, or depending, you know, if I'm in a nursing home, I may have as many as 42, you know, on a shift. So all of those can affect the quality of the care.
Gina Denick-Champion is our guest, the executive director of the Wisconsin Nurses Association. We're talking about legislation that the association is working on that would prevent criminal charges, criminal prosecution, in cases where healthcare workers make a mistake. If you'd like to join in the conversation, give us a call, 800-642-1234. I'm Gene Purcell. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 12 minutes before 7 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up after 9 this morning, Kathleen Dunn and her guest, John Nichols, paid tribute to Molly Ivins, who died Wednesday at her Austin, Texas home. They discuss what they call the best in journalism today. That's up after 9 o'clock on Kathleen Dunn here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This hour, we're going to be talking, we are continuing our conversation with Gina Denick-Champion, the executive director of the Wisconsin Nurses Association. We're talking about a bill that the association is working on that would provide protection for healthcare workers who make mistakes and basically would help prevent criminal charges being filed in cases like that. We have a lot of callers. We'd like to get to those before the end of the hour, so let's go straight to the phones. And we begin with Ruth, who joins us from Madison. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm glad to hear that deliberate not errors are not included in this. But when the person is dead, it's a little bit hard for the unwed mother, who, and they're especially vulnerable, to say, you know, she said you deserve to suffer, you're an unwed mother, you deserve this pain. But what I wanted to say also is, there's two more things, that there are people who perform their jobs in a reckless and cocksure manner, and yes, they make mistakes, and it's not a deliberate mistake because they're just reckless and cocksure, and I don't think they should be off the hook even if it wasn't a deliberate mistake. And I don't think that the board of directors should be off the hook if they've deliberately understaffed so that the only thing that the staff can do is take shortcuts that put patients' lives in danger.
All right, Ruth, thanks for the call. A couple of issues there, Gina Denick-Champion. First of all, the whole issue of recklessness, that could be a difficult one to define. Where do you draw the line between, I mean, there is, everybody makes mistakes, we all do that, but there are moments when I guess recklessness comes into play, where you just aren't paying attention.
Correct. And that's, again, as we try and that's why it's kind of hard to get our hands around that piece of the, you know, the legislation or the statutes, because it's how we differentiate between reckless negligence, negligence, and, you know, versus the willful and wanful intent of you know, it's, of why you're doing what you're doing. And, you know, if you've got a young mother, you know, so to speak, an unwed, you know, and if comments are made that are abusive, those become kind of, you know, reckless comments, abusive comments. And there should be zero tolerance for that. And that's why part of that, you know, the statute is there to talk about the abuses, the willful and wanful abuses. But again, the mistake piece, you know, the unintended error is, again, is what we're trying to differentiate.
And Ruth also brings up, and we touched upon this, you know, taking the responsibility a step further beyond the individual to the institution. At what point does the institution bear some responsibility, whether it's a board or whomever it might be, you know, that decides who works how many hours in a shift, that sort of thing? I mean, what responsibility does someone beyond the person take?
Well, and I'm glad that that was brought up, because certainly the Board of Nursing, in this case of Julie, was, when they look at part of the stipulation to her license, will be a restriction or a return to, like, a normal shift of work. And there's a lot more research out there now. A nurse researcher by the name of Ann Rogers has done a phenomenal amount of work on nurse fatigue and hours worked and how errors can happen. And I think our healthcare organizations are, you know, just really beginning to, you know, pay attention, as our nurses. I, you know, there's that issue of mandatory, you know, work, or you can't go home. You will be forced to work here. If you don't, you know, you'll be, you know, view it as not a team player. And but there's also those cases where nurses think that they can handle all those additional hours. And at some point in time, there needs to be, you know, a better and stronger conversation and maybe hospital policies that say, you know, our nurses will not work any more than such and such, not without some extra days off. Or...
Sal joins us now from Stevens Point. Good morning, Sal.
Yeah, hi. I have mixed feelings about criminalizing this kind of incompetence. On the other hand, and I also know specific cases of nurses that have saved doctors from making some really bad prescriptions, treatments, whatever. I mean, they've caught errors that doctors have blithely missed. And there are some very competent nurses out there. There are also some very incompetent nurses. I've talked to a lot of them in the course of my work that don't remember, if they ever knew, a lot of their schooling. And we're, if anything, we're pushing through as many nurses as we can get now, and the quality is not necessarily going to improve with this kind of pressure for more nurses. But let me get specific.
Mm-hmm.
Your guest is trying to generalize this problem, that it's a systemic problem. The system failed in some way. The system didn't fail. Anesthesiology used to be carry one of the highest rates of malpractice insurance in the business. And they spent 20 years examining every single case of problems in anesthesia, and now it's one of the safest areas of medicine, and they correspondingly play a lot less malpractice. And the reason is because they set systems in place. This person specifically went around that system, which was designed just for this kind of problem. And then I don't care whether she was working long shifts or not. If she was working such a long shift, she still took extra time off her shift to do this thing. And she screwed up. And the fact that she still has a license amazes me. It just amazes me. So criminalizing her behavior, who knows? You know, she's going to carry this with her, and sure, that's punishment enough, and so on and so forth. But at the very least, she should not have a license.
Sal, thanks for the call. And Gina Denick Champion, I think when he first started out, he said he had mixed feelings about this. And I think a lot of people have mixed feelings about this.
And you're right. I mean, it is very emotional. I mean, to say it, you know, simply. But it's systems, were they bypassed in this case? Do nurses take shortcuts? Do other healthcare providers take shortcuts? Probably. And what are the factors? Again, what are the systemic factors related to that? There are some systems, for example, where this epidural was, that only physicians can, get it out of this Pyxis system. In another case where a nurse couldn't get her hands on it, so that to help minimize the mistake. But again, does it rise to a level of criminalization? And I think from our perspective is, you know, it should not. That what has happened in society that we begin to criminalize people for making mistakes? And, you know, it can be as egregious, but why does it need to rise to that level? And that's the sticking point for us. The Board of Nursing took the actions that they did after examining all of the case. The regulatory system came in and made, you know, the hospital make the necessary changes. And we have the civil court system that will deal with, you know, the fallout and the continuing care of in this case, this young woman's baby.
As we near the top of the hour, we've got time for one very quick call. We'll take Artis from Delafield. Good morning.
Hi. I am a nurse, and I just want to point out just how diverse errors can be and multifactorial. And just, I'm going to give you one quick situation.
And you're going to have to make it fast because we're almost out of time.
Yeah, I am. A coworker of mine had two patients in the ICU. They were both in their 40s. They were both firemen, and they were both named, let's say, Joe, and they were, you know, right next to each other. Okay, so there's just one. I'm just pointing that out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if we Now, if somebody needs to be disciplined, fired from a particular job, have their license taken away for incompetence, that's one thing. But I don't think any nurse commits an error that deserves to be criminalized. You can, you know, you can, let's say, sludge her career and make it so that she can't get another job in that profession if she truly shouldn't be there. But criminalizing is a little bit different. That implies intent.
All right. Thanks for the call. And Gina Denick, Champion, we've got about 30 seconds left. The legislation is being worked on, and you hope to see something to bring to the state legislature, perhaps yet in February.
Yep, either February, beginning of March. So yes.
All right, and we'll keep our eyes open for that and perhaps have you back
once
it's all worked out. Gina Denick-Champion, the Executive Director of the Wisconsin Nurses Association, has been with us during the 6 o'clock hour. We're talking about a bill being drafted by the association that would provide protection for health care workers who make a mistake on the job, and it would prevent criminal prosecution in cases like that. If you'd like a copy of the program, you can have one of your own by calling the radio store, 800-747-7444. You can also log on to our website at WPR.org and listen to our archives. Steve Williams produced the program this hour, and I had on-air production from Karen Prager. I'm Gene Purcell, and I'm filling in for Joy Cardine today. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.